Good morning. It's good to gather. It's good to come together as people, God's people, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's good to sing words of praise and worship to him. It's good to pray before him and to him. It's good to read his word. And it's good to allow his spirit to speak to us through his words. So this morning as we sit, as we listen, my hope, my prayer for us all is that God's spirit who is in us and with us, is speaking to us, shaping us, challenging us, and transforming us into the image of Christ, bit by bit. Is that your prayer? Is that your hope? Well, part of that is telling stories. Stories are one of the most powerful tools we have. Did I tell you the story about when I had a dead fish and I wrapped it in a tea towel and put it under my bed? Well, we have to wait for that. Yeah, Mum did find it. Did I tell you the story when swimming and nearly drowned, when I got wedged in a fish pond and the only thing was my legs kicking in the air? Did I tell you some of the story of my journey of faith and coming to Bible college and how an older person said to me when I was going, will I go to Bible college or not? And they said to me, well, what are your options, Stuart? I know I've told you this, but I'm going to recount it. And I said, well, Malcolm, I can either go to college or I can just keep on the farm and doing what I've been doing. And Malcolm looked at me and he said, Stuart, what are your options? And I thought, Malcolm, you're getting old. And he said, and I said, I can stay on the farm or I can go to Bible college. And then Malcolm rephrased it and he said, oh, tell me, Stuart, why are you thinking of going to Bible college? And I said, I sense a God's call on my life into full-time ministry and I need to prepare and study and train for that. And then Malcolm said to me, what are your options? You know, it's part of who we are is the story, the journey of life, the journey of faith. And it is one of the most, if not the most powerful tool we have in our hands, in our heart. It's always with us, our story. Is that true? And as we know our story and as we become confident in our story, we learn to share our story. We learn to share our story of our experience of God, how we heard God, how it transformed our lives, and how we've journeyed with God. It's essential for us to know our story individually and collectively as God's community in this place and in this time. Last week we talked about Rahab, and Rahab heard the story of God's people through the things that the Israelites had done and seen and experienced. Through a dry sea, chased by the Egyptian army, and they survived. Through a desert for 40 years and God fed them. Rahab heard these things. And through these stories, through this testimony of the Israelite nation and what their God was doing in them and through them and for them, her life was transformed from destruction to life. And as she shared her story, her family was saved too. Wes shared a little bit of his story last week. As a young man, he encountered the gospel. And that question, that very important question, was burned in his mind. Where do I want to spend eternity? And as he encountered God in that moment, he chose to follow God. He chose to seek Jesus and accept him as his Lord and Saviour. And then as life has gone on for Wes, he looks for opportunities to share that story, his encounter. We only got a snippet of Wes's story last week. This week we're going to encounter Peter a little bit. And then Peter from Scripture, that is the Apostle Peter. And then Ernie Lawton's going to come and share a little bit of his journey as well. Do you like Peter, the apostle? What do you think about him? Before we start, what are some things, just some quick images that come to mind? What do you know of Peter from your understanding of the gospel? Yep.
Really good at putting his foot in his mouth.
That's really good. You know, when I was little, I could do that. I can't do that anymore physically. I bet I can do it metaphorically, though. Yeah, foot-in-mouth disease suffered Peter. Yeah. Adrian, just one thing. Yeah, Peter, foot-in-mouth disease, he denied Jesus. What else springs to mind when you think of Peter, the apostle?
Impulsive.
Pardon?
Impulsive.
He was impulsive. I think that kind of like linked as one of the symptoms of foot and mouth disease. Yeah.
Bold.
He was bold. Yeah.
Rock.
He was a rock. Yeah, he was a rock. The church would be founded on. Yeah. So we get a story as we read through the Gospels and if we read through the book of Acts and as we look at the letters Peter wrote, we get an image of his story. And this morning, in just a few minutes, I'd like to journey with you in some of Peter's story, his testimony. So we will come to that passage from Peter, from 1 Peter shortly. 1 Peter. Peter is called to follow Jesus. The Gospels identify Peter as one of the first, if not the first, of the disciples that Jesus starts to gather around him. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, we find these words. One day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come. Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." They left their nets and at once followed him. See, Peter's encounter, this "come follow me," had immediate implications for him and his life. In hearing, he responded and somehow he recognized something in Jesus that was attractive and good and right. And somehow in that moment, he chose to follow. We know that Peter's journey exhibited moments of great faith. The storm and Jesus coming through on the water towards him, walking on the water. Got this lovely little, I guess it's a comic strip. And there's a picture of a man standing on the water. And on the bank are these people looking amazed. Obviously, it's Jesus and the disciples. And the caption above Jesus, that's the one standing on the water, says, "I just want to have a swim." See, but in that moment that Jesus was walking on the water, Peter goes, "Is it you, Lord?" And he goes, "Yes." "Well, then call me to come." And Peter just steps out onto the water. Peter was a man who heard the call of Jesus. Peter was a man that responded to the call of Jesus immediately. And Peter was a man that had immense faith in this person that he followed. And yet Peter still remained a human being. Peter at times relied on his own strength and determination. You get this boldness or stubbornness. "I will follow you," says Peter. When everyone else will desert you, "I will remain faithful to you," says Peter. In his own strength, in his own heart, in his own mind, he says, "I will never fail you. I will never leave you." And Jesus says, "Hang on, Peter. You will. Three times you will deny me." And we know how that story unfolds. The girl comes to him and says, "Don't I know you? Weren't you with this mob from the Jesus mob?" "No, not me. Don't know him." "I'm sure it was you." "No, not me." "Yes, it was you." "No." And the cock crows. In the midst of his following, in the midst of his faith, Peter remained fragile in a human sense, where he would rely on his own strength and from time to time he would fail. You can't help remember the time when Jesus said, with the three disciples, Peter being one of them, "Stay here a while and I'll go on a little further and pray for me and with me." And what happened to Peter? Oh, sorry. I don't suffer from narcolepsy. Peter fell asleep. "Wake up, Peter," and the others, and fell asleep again. See, Peter, although he was a man of faith, although he was a man that followed, he still remained a man that was fragile and he still made mistakes. After the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, we see that Peter's faith continues to grow and mature and strengthen. If you know anything of the second chapter of Acts, you get this image of Peter, one who says boldly, we are not drunk. We aren't drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's good Baptist, I suppose. And then he starts to tell the story. This man, Jesus, who you crucified, he was the one that the prophets told us about. He was the one that was foretold. He was the Messiah. He was the Savior of the world. And so he goes on. And the people there listening to this story are amazed. And at the end of it, they say, what must we do to be saved? Repent, believe in the name of Jesus, and be baptized. Do you see a man of strength and faith and certainty in these words as the Spirit of God takes hold of him and he willingly allows that to fill his life and channel his words of hope and life to others? His discipleship, his encounter with God that was causing him to follow, to be faithful, yet weak, yet determined and convinced of the truth, challenged him from a cultural perspective too. His life was rattled to the core when he had a dream and God said, take and eat. And Peter says, I've never eaten anything like that. And in preparation for what we find in the 10th chapter of Acts, where Peter goes to Cornelius' home, a Gentile home, a filthy home, a dirty home. Why would you go there? Yet Peter's encounter with God of faith and his journey and his understanding and his hope and his certainty that he had in the promises of what are hinged on the cross of hope and salvation in no other. Peter goes and he tells the story again of his journey of faith, his understanding. The gospel message comes through in chapter 10 to Cornelius and the household. And what happens? What happens in that house? As a result of Peter sharing his story, the story of his Saviour, in the midst of the work of the power of the Spirit of God, the Spirit falls on them and the household is saved and they are baptized. This is the power of story. This is the journey that we have ourselves in us that we too can share. From Peter's call to his death is probably about 33 years. Church tradition tells us he was martyred. Peter's experience of God enabled him to tell others, to speak and serve the church throughout his life and beyond. And when I say beyond, I mean he continues to testify of his hope and faith and certainty in Christ in the words that the Spirit of God caused him to write in these letters. Just going to read those few verses again from 1 Peter chapter 1. The hope of eternal life is how it's headed in my book, in my Bible. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. See the clarity of the story? We have hope because of what God did in Christ. Christ is alive, therefore, Peter says, we can have life. Now we live with great expectation, expectation of our future hope and Christ's return. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What a hope, what a promise, what an insight, what words to share with a church that are troubled and persecuted. That's us too. A hope that can't be defiled in any way, that is preserved by us and for us in heaven, by God, for us in the future. Is that encouraging? See, Pete's testimony is working. And then he goes on. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed to you on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. Looking for smiling faces here. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Peter knew what was coming to this church. Peter knew what was coming for his own life to some extent. And in the midst of that uncertainty of life, Peter has words of assurance and certainty which take us beyond life to eternal life. From the visible to the invisible. From the time frame which ends to an eternal time frame in the presence of God. All because of what God has done in Christ Jesus. All because of what God has done in Christ Jesus. So picking it up in verse 13 of chapter 1 Peter. Peter writes, so think clearly and exercise self-control. Look forward to the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. Do you see how Peter's words encourage us? Because God has done all that we need to have done for us in terms of our salvation and our eternity. And then Peter spurs us on. Persevere. He doesn't use that word here, but he says, so think carefully. Exercise self-control in what you do, where you go, what you say, what you read. This is Peter's testimony, Peter's words to us. Peter experienced a life of faith which continued to mature, continued to grow. His own experience led him to a conviction, we're all called to live a holy life. His experience led him to the conviction that we have hope that is certain, steadfast and sure, because God himself holds that in heaven in trust for us. I wonder if Peter was here, he might say something like this. He called me out to follow him. I followed. I didn't always understand and I sometimes failed to believe. But his grace, his love conquered all my fears and all my doubts. He is the Lord in whom I have found forgiveness. He is the Lord in whom I have found restoration. All I have come to know about him is good and right and true. And I commend him to you, each and every one of you. Will that do for Peter? Have you got a story like that? How certain are you of your hope? How bold and willing are you to share it? How prepared are you to tell somebody else of your hope in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour? Well, Ernie says he's bold enough to share a little bit of his journey. So come on, Ernie. Is that out, that's in your way, isn't it? Will that do, Dawn? Thank you. Oh. You know, just see if I can get that up and in. It's not that I didn't want you, Ernie. Welcome. Want a seat?
Thank you.
Blue or yellow? Will that clash with your jumper?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. That's on. It's ready to go. You want to say hello just to get a level there?
Right, hello. Hello?
Yeah, good. So, Ernie, just those same questions that we had for Wes last week. So how or when did you first encounter God? When was that moment in your life?
Up
nice and close. We want to hear your story.
Halfway through the war. I mean, the Tell Second them. World War. Not the both war. The war. The Second World War. Our mother used to take us to a place called Twig Lane Gospel Chapel.
Huh.
And it was there my brother and I, my brother Jim, and I gave our hearts to the Lord. Yeah. And it was great.
Yeah.
And one week, my mother said, I think I'll take you all to see your granddad. Oh, it's terrific. He lived near the beach. He had a sweet shop. We were rationed. We were rationed with 2 ounces a week, you see, on the war. So great. We had a terrific time. And next week we went to church, and it was announced from the pulpit. Some of us weren't here last week. We were cavorting on the beach and playing cricket, which is a sin on Sunday. And it went on and on and on.
Did you feel like there was that was pointed at all?
So I looked at my brother Jim. He looked at me and I said, no. He said, forget it. We're off. So we walked out. And he said, where are you going? I said, away. We won't be back. We won't be back.
How old were you at this stage?
I was 11.
11.
My brother was 9.
Okay. So you've encountered God. You've been excited by that.
Yep.
And now you're just going to walk away.
Yep. And this staying away from church lasted for years. Even when
how,
I was in
how
the,
many years?
Oh, 10, 11. 12. Even when I was in the army, you know, they have a church parade. Jews, Catholics, Protestants, and all that regimental, had polished boots, brasses. And you can't get away from the church parade. You've got to go to the church parade. And so we did. But when we got to church, I used to peel off and stay outside. And even, you couldn't walk around and have a smoker. You had to stand to attention while the church service was on. And I even stood there in 2 foot of snow. Well, it didn't matter. I stayed outside, so long as I was outside. And anyway, later on, we got married in a registry office, not in a church.
Yeah.
This is okay. Anyway, we moved from England to Australia, where you don't have to wait for somebody to die before you get a job.
Okay.
And then...
This is Moira,
yep.
Your beloved. Yeah.
And
was Moira a person of faith?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. And anyway, where was I? Oh, yes, we moved to Hillsville. And one day Moira was shopping. And she went past the local travel agent, and a loud voice said to her, buy any plane ticket to Brisbane. And she thought, some alien voices. Anyway, later on, the same thing, buy any one-way plane ticket to Brisbane. And she thought, well. Anyway, 10 minutes later, it happened again. Guess what she said? She did. She went and bought me a one-way railway, a plane ticket to Brisbane.
He got back.
And she said to me, she said to me, happy Father's Day. I said, it's not Father's Day. Well, it will be one day. And see, pure logic, you couldn't get around it. So anyway, I flew to Brisbane to be with Betty, her friend. Betty and Maura were state-registered nurses. And they both worked in the same hospital, and they were good pals. Anyway, Betty and her husband picked me up and went to the nice house. And Betty's mum was there, and Betty's mum had flu. Anyway, when I woke up the next day, and Betty checked me out, temperature.
Oh, that was you, not Betty's mum.
Yeah, no, okay. No, that's me.
Oh, God, just trying to...
yeah, sorry. And Betty checked me out and said, oh, you've got flu. And I said, oh. Anyway, when I sat up later on, she said, can you read? I said, okay. So she came in with a great big heap of books and dumped them on the bed. And in the book, in amongst the books, was a book called How to Live Like a King's Kid by Harold Hill. I read that from cover to cover.
Wow.
Then she also gave me a book called the Good News Bible, which I'd never seen before. My Bible was an ancient Lancashire dialect Bible. Yea, verily, hereunto. But this was in plain English. Marvellous. Anyway, I had a good night's sleep. Next day, I was better. I couldn't believe it. I was floating on air. Couldn't believe it. Anyway, I got up, and for the next few days, I was just like walking on air with peace, a complete peace over me. And I got a bus home, a train to Lilydale. That's right. And Maura was there waiting for me in the car. Normally, I would say, sure, I'll drive. I said to her, you drive. She said, what? I said, sure, I know you drive. So she drove me home. In the first time in her life, she drove me home. And then that was on a Saturday. Had a terrific night's sleep. But the next day, I got collar and tie, suit. And Maura said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to church, of course. What? Without me? Yes. So I went to church, and the only church in Healesville was the Uniting Church. And it was marvellous, really marvellous. And there was a preacher there, a woman named Ruth Samitaskas, and under her wing, and she taught me it's preaching. And she would concentrate on me at preaching. And finally finished up preaching in one of three churches. There was Healesville Church, Yarra Glen Church, and Tulangi Church. One Sunday, I preached in all three of them. And I introduced guitars into the church. And I also started a country gospel band in Healesville. And we used to play on a Saturday from 9 to 1 on every month. And the shops there used to plead with us to play outside their shop because it was so popular.
Yeah.
Anyway, then it went on and on. And I got preaching it went on for years. In 81, I was planning to go home, and I went to a friend's house in Bayswater. I was waiting on my bike to turn right to go and see him. The traffic going into Bayswater was nose to tail. Finally, a bloke stopped and left the gap for me, so I turned right, and I got hit by a speeding truck coming down a nature strip. I got shot skywards, and that was it. And two eyewitnesses said when the ambulance came, they just checked me out, covered me over, declared me dead. And when they got me to the other end, instead of putting me in a morgue, they put me in a room on my own to die. And they left a note for Maura, your son has been in a motorbike accident. And she jumps in the car, singing praises all the way to the hospital. And when she gets there, she's out of that room, into a ward. Now, I finished up in a ward and survived, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And that was it. And but later on, I thought when the preaching was out, I couldn't do any preaching anymore. But we were talking about puppets. And I said to Maura, that'd be terrific at Sunday school. Anyway, Malcolm was preaching, and one day he finished his sermon by saying, when the Lord is telling you to do something, you do it. And he pointed at me. Yeah.
And this isn't Malcolm Wright, is it?
Yeah.
Got a lot to answer for.
So I said, all right, right. And we had the puppet show for 10 years.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And that's my story.
Yeah. So your story, you encountered God young, and then you turned away from him.
Yep. But then the Lord said, mine, I think.
Yeah, mine. Come on back.
Yep.
And then, and since you're re-encountering, reconnecting with God and people of faith,
yep.
it's shaped what you do and what you say and what you think,
yep.
in ways of ministry and building up the church and building up your own faith journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's amazing. So how long have you been back with the Lord, if you've ever really been away?
Oh,
20, 30 years. 20, 30 years.
Yeah, 30 odd.
Is that right, Maura? Yeah, thanks. I thought I'd just check. Yeah. Been an exciting journey?
Yep.
A good journey?
Yep.
Great to have a story like that?
Wouldn't repeat it again, but...
Life's a one-way ticket, like your ticket to Brisbane. How did he get back?
On the bus.
On the bus.
On the bus. And I was reading my Bible on the bus, and I couldn't understand why everybody else wasn't reading their Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. On the bus, reading your Bible.
Yep.
Yeah. So you've been encouraging people to read their Bible?
Yep.
And encouraging people to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. That's Ernie's story. Thanks, Ernie. Can I pray for you before you hop down? Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for brothers and sisters in Christ. And we give you thanks that we can stand here today and acknowledge that Ernie is our brother in Christ. We thank you that you called him. We thank you that he heard, that he has followed. We thank you for the life that he has experienced. And we thank you for the testimony that you have given him. Thank you, Father, that you are faithful, that you are good and you are righteous. And thank you, Father, for the joy that you bring to our lives and the lives of those we encounter. So we give you thanks for Ernie's story in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.